You are Locked On Panthers, your daily Carolina Panthers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Julian Council. Talking Carolina Panthers with you every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Your team every day. That's our motto here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure to watch our show and subscribe to our show over on our Locked On Panthers YouTube channel. We're following this Sunday's game. I'll be live one final time there on our Locked On Panthers YouTube channel. Of course, anytime there's any breaking news throughout the offseason, I'll also go live there. So make sure to check out the show there on YouTube. If you ever miss a single one of those live episodes, it's okay. It's every episode of Locked On Panthers is in your podcast feed. Just be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts. And be sure to follow me, Julian Council, on Twitter at Julian Council, where every single Friday I answer weekly Friday mailbag questions here on the show. To participate in this week's edition of the Weekly Friday Mailbag, either at me or DM me on Twitter at Julian Council. Today's episode of Locked On Panthers is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you win up to 10 times your money on your first entry. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Now, the Carolina Panthers' playoff hopes might have ended on Sunday afternoon in that 30-24 loss at Tampa Bay, but their season is not over just yet as they prepare to face off against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. That is now official as the NFL has come out with their schedule for the final week of the season. I was surprised that they were going to have the Lions and Packers on Sunday Night Football when I don't know the result as I'm doing this on Monday at 4 o'clock. I don't know the result of the Monday night game between the Bengals and the Bills, but if the Bengals were to lose, and that would mean the Bengals and Ravens would be playing for the AFC North, why would you not wait until that result comes out to make a decision? Because if Seattle wins, Detroit's already out of it, and so it's basically Detroit trying to ruin Green Bay's chances of going to the playoffs, and we know how that's likely going to happen. So I was a little bit surprised by that, but the Panthers will play at 1 o'clock because that's where games are played when the division is already settled, as it was settled on Sunday afternoon in Tampa Bay. And still looking back on that game, as we will start off the show, Steve Wilks met with the media on Monday, and he started off his press conference by talking about how there's two things that the Panthers cannot do, and they did those on Sunday afternoon and their loss. That's give up turnovers. They had 3 of them, all from Sam Darnold. They had 0 turnovers from Sam Darnold in his first 4 starts. As we noted last week, was the longest stretch in his career. He hadn't had a turnover, but he had 3 on Sunday. You cannot attribute all those to Sam. Steve Wilks did say that Sam Darnold did some nice things, minus the turnovers on Sunday afternoon, had a lot of great throws, namely all 3 of those touchdown passes, and made a lot of good decisions. But unfortunately, with the fumble that occurred right before halftime, you can place that on Bradley Bozeman if you want, as far as snapping the ball too early. But Sam has to fall on that football. He cannot try to pick it up and make something out of nothing. Just take it. You've already lost on that down. Don't compound the mistake. The second turnover he had, the interception, of course, that was an underthrow to Stephon Sullivan. That happens, but not a great throw from Sam Darnold. And the third one, that's on Ike Ekwonu, who Steve said played a great game. But that's just something you cannot have happen at the end of the game when you're trying to go down, tie the football game right after Tampa Bay finally took the lead, where Ike Ekwonu gets beat badly. And Sam Darnold, as we've seen before, sometimes has had trouble holding onto the football when getting sacked. And that occurs their third and final turnover of the day, which leads to the deciding touchdown there to put Tampa Bay up 10 points with about 2-3 minutes, whatever it was, left in the game, costing Carolina a chance at the division. So one of them was you can't give up turnovers, which led to 10 points. And then the second, you can't give up big plays. And as we know, big plays were the issue all day long in that secondary. That was down Dante Jackson. That was down J.C. Horn, who we found out on Monday was placed on IR, so he will not be out there on Sunday afternoon against the Saints. And Steve Wilks did not want to speculate on whether they had won or not, whether J.C. Horn would be out there. The season's over at this point in time, outside of the final game of the year. No reason for J.C. Horn to be out there. Had they had a chance, maybe he plays. But Steve Wilks, again, didn't want to talk about that. But being down J.C., who should have been a Pro Bowler, was an excellent player this year, obviously your best corner, and being down Dante Jackson put the Panthers in a position where they had Keith Taylor and CJ Henderson both out there starting at cornerback, and it was going to be a liability trying to keep up with Mike Evans and trying to keep up with Chris Godwin. As we saw, Mike Evans had basically a career day, over 207 yards receiving, three touchdowns, burned them multiple times, and Steve Wilks went over all three of those situations where they gave touchdowns on those big plays to Mike Evans. The first one in the first half, they were playing quarters coverage, and basically he said that that was Keith Taylor at that point in time, just didn't turn his hips quick enough, gets beat. The second one, which was CJ Henderson, where a lot of people felt like CJ quit on the play. Steve Wilks said he did not see CJ quit on the play. He just kind of slowed down when Mike Evans slowed down, and Mike Evans went and did his thing. They said they were playing man coverage, but they also had a cover two over the top, so they were expecting safety help on that play. Did not get safety help, therefore CJ Henderson gets beat, and Mike Evans scores, and the help was not there over the top. Then the third one, Steve Wilks said, was an all-out blitz. The Buccaneers were in max protect. Wilks blames himself, saying they should have checked out of it and gone to a cover two instead, and they did not do that, which led to that third and final touchdown for Mike Evans, which put Tampa Bay up for good in the game on Sunday afternoon. So Wilks takes the blame for one of them. He blames CJ Henderson. Not really CJ Henderson. He blames the fact that he didn't get safety help. And then he blames, or rather he places the reasoning behind Keith Taylor not being able to, you know, turn his hips quick enough on that play to stop Mike Evans. So that's the three plays that led to touchdowns. So turnovers, three of them led to 10 points. The big plays, those three situations. Wilks blames himself on one of them, but the other ones are just players not being able to execute, which was kind of the theme of the day as he spoke to the media on Monday, saying that they made plays and we didn't. They made more plays than us. We did not make the plays that we needed to, and the ones that were out there that could have been taken, we didn't do it. So that's what leads the Carolina Panthers losing that game. Sam Darnold, once again, will start on Sunday. Joe Person asked that question. Didn't really think there was any doubt that Sam Darnold would get one final start here in Carolina. As I said to y'all yesterday, the book is pretty much closed on Sam. Maybe he can come back, be a bridge quarterback as far as like a high-level backup, maybe help out a rookie. I just don't see Sam Darnold being a starting quarterback moving forward here in Carolina with the thoughts that he could be the guy that stabilizes the position and becomes the franchise. And that was pretty much said and done last year. But especially now after that loss on Sunday, again, not all of them on Sam, but he is a turnover-prone quarterback, and we saw those turnovers come to bite them in the worst performance. I guess he's – I don't even know – I can't even really say worst performance, but in the biggest game of the season for the Carolina Panthers on Sunday at Tampa Bay. And I talked about aggressiveness on Sunday and felt like Steve Wilks wasn't very aggressive, especially in the first half. Wilks said he does not regret the 2 fourth-and-1 decisions to punt the ball on the Panthers' own 42. He did bring up the fact that when they were in plus territory and had that fourth down, which was on that touchdown drive that put them up 14-0, they went for it on the 4th-and-3. But he brings up the 2 third-down plays that right before the 4th-and-1 at the 42. They were up 7-0 one point, 14-0 the other point. So they had the lead. They had control of the game. Of course, he doesn't want to give Tampa Bay and Tom Brady a short field. But he did speak a lot about how, hey, against that quarterback, maybe the best ever do it at that position, you got to be aggressive. But when given the opportunity to be aggressive, they weren't aggressive. Now, he does bring up on that third down, probably the first 4th-and-1, that Sam Darnold made the wrong read on third down, that if he would have flipped it out to Laviska Shenault, they would have had a first down. So Darnold makes a mistake there. Then on the second one, just talks about how Chuba Hubbard needs to make a man miss. And if he does, they convert on that draw play. So they don't do that. Either way, you still could have been aggressive and could have gone out there and tried to take even more control of the game in that situation. But they decided to punt the ball instead. Which, hey, that's what Steve Wilks said he wants to do, and says that he doesn't regret doing it at all. Now, there's going to be people who are wondering, heading into the final game of the season, Sam Darnold's going to play. You know, other people, like the younger guys, are going to get more opportunities. Steve Wilks said his main concern is winning football games. He's not focused on playing younger guys. They've had conversations throughout the year since he's taken over about playing younger guys, and the conversations really have not stopped. But it's certainly not a concern of his as the Panthers head into that final game of the season. And you can wonder also, like Josh Norman. Josh Norman, who was brought up to play because of J.C. Horn going on, well, not he's now on IR, but being injured, why do we not see more Josh Norman on Sunday? Wilks said that he didn't think that Josh Norman was ready to play. that many snaps. He only played 10 on Sunday. I had told y'all that I thought the expectation really should be 10 to 12, maybe 15 snaps. Wilkes apparently had told the Fox broadcasting crew and reiterated this on Monday that maybe 20 to 25 would have been possible for Josh. But really this week, now they're looking at probably maybe 20 to 25 snaps. And he didn't want to put Josh in a situation of going out there and having to be a key factor in the game, considering the fact that he was, you know, coming off the street. He was working at his family's coffee shop where he worked at a barista. I know there was a lot of made of that last week, but he didn't feel like he was in game shape. Looked fine in workouts, but not in football shape, and he didn't feel like that made a lot of sense with Josh Norman in the situation to come in and fill in for Keith Taylor, or which he did later on in the final two drives, really for the majority of the game for him, or CJ Henderson, who both, of course, struggled against Mike Evans on Sunday afternoon. So you can wonder, could Josh Norman have done better? Could he have done any worse than those two guys? Why bring him to Carolina and in the one game that actually mattered, he only played him 10 snaps? And now what's the point of playing him 20 to 25 snaps on Sunday against New Orleans when the Panthers don't really benefit at all from winning, other than getting Steve Wilks to 500? But as far as the draft position, which I know is going to be of chief concern for most people in the Panthers fan base over the next week, why not give him an opportunity? So I don't know. Didn't work out. It's unfortunate, but we'll get one more game of Josh Norman, then maybe he'll just retire as a Carolina Panther. We will see. But as I stated, and really what Steve Wilks stated, don't expect this team to quit on Sunday. This team is trying to win. And y'all should just go ahead and wrap your minds around it. Steve Wilks, he ain't trying to tank right now after giving it his all the last 11 games. He is still trying to win games here in Carolina. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment on Locked On Panthers. But before we do that, let me tell you guys again about Prize Picks. How does Prize Picks work? You pick 2 to 5 players, and they score more or less than your Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport you can watch. This includes the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, PGA Tour, college football, men's and women's college basketball, soccer, NASCAR, tennis, cricket, and so much more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the PrizePicks app. Go to PrizePicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. So this is how it works. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50, so on and so forth. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. When you download the PrizePicks app, go to PrizePicks.com today. So Steve Wilks made it very clear when he took over as the interim coach here in Carolina. He was not worried about his job status, which we'll talk about here shortly. He was not worried about, you know, the future. All he was worried about was 13 weeks to do it his way. 13 weeks, 12 games, he was going to do it his way. He didn't want to talk about tanking. He didn't want to talk about all these other things. He was focused on the week ahead and the opponent ahead and getting his team prepared to win games. And that has not changed. And he made that very clear on Sunday afternoon following the Panthers' loss to Tampa Bay. Did he say, the one thing I stated to these guys, the last element that we're going to do this week, we're going to finish. That's what men do. That's what good football teams do, regardless of the record, regardless of the circumstance. We're going to come in tomorrow, put this game to bed, and we're going to have a great week of practice. Steve Wilks is not trying to lose this game on Sunday. He is trying to win. The Panthers team that have been battling for Steve Wilks, guys like Derek Brown who have come out and said they want to be the head coach, guys like Shaq Thompson who said the same thing, they're going out here on Sunday afternoon in what is going to be dubbed as a meaningless game to go out and beat New Orleans, to sweep the Saints and to get the 7-10 and 6-6 under Steve Wilks as the interim, the guy that they want to be the head ball coach moving forward on a full-time basis following this season. So they're going out there to win this game. And Steve Wilks said it again on Monday, saying that we're going to do it the right way. We're going to finish. So if you're sitting here hoping the Panthers are going to go out there and throw out like PJ, I mean, I don't even know. Like throw who? Do they have any other quarterbacks other than PJ Walker and Sam on the roster? If you're thinking they're going to go out there and find some practice squad guy to go out and start on Sunday and try and lose that game, that's just not going to be the case. They're going to give it their best effort. I have no idea how New Orleans is going to approach this game. I imagine that they're going to go out there and they're going to play hard as well. And the thing is, you should want every team in the league to go out and give their best effort. Like on Sunday, the Eagles still have a chance to wrap up the number one seed on Sunday afternoon when they play the Giants. The Giants are already locked in to the sixth seed in the NFC. They have no incentive to play Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, and their best players on Sunday afternoon. But there's got to be some sense of integrity in this league where you give your best effort to win games week in and week out. So I don't know what the Lions are going to do, or the not the Lions, but I guess the Lions could get to that situation if they find out that Seattle won. But that's not how they're going to prepare, of course. They're going to go out there and give their best effort and try to keep their division rival out of the playoffs, that being Green Bay. But the Giants, I would love for them to actually give an effort, because it is lame as hell to me when they're like, yeah, we're not going to play hard. Because last year, maybe it wasn't last year, but I think a couple of years ago, when Buffalo had nothing to play for, but they still played their starters the bulk of the game against a Miami team that needed to win that game, and Buffalo beat the hell out of them. That's what I want to see. I would rather teams give it their best effort for all 18 weeks, all 17 games of the season, opposed to get to week 18, be like, eh, forget it. Let's play the young guys. Oh, we're already in playoffs. Let's not do anything. I understand there's much more to play for. But when there's things on the line, especially with the Eagles game and in the position of the Lions, the Packers game, give it your best effort. Now, of course, on Sunday when the Panthers play New Orleans, there is nothing on the line other than the draft pick. Currently, as it stands, Carolina Panthers would be drafting 9th overall, which is, of course, in the top 10. They're 9th overall. If they lose, it's a possibility they could get up all the way up to 6. But 9th overall, that's where the Panthers sit right now. That's probably not good enough to obviously get Bryce Young. Probably not good enough to get C.J. Stroud, who was excellent in that loss to Georgia on New Year's Eve in the playoff. They're going to have to be able to trade up using those second-round picks that they got, the second-round pick they got from San Francisco. I think it was also a third-round pick in there and a fourth-round pick. The picks they got from San Francisco, they're going to have to use that in order to trade up. So we're looking at it, win or lose, the Panthers are probably going to be in the top 10, and they're still not going to be high enough, I believe, to be in a position to get the quarterback that they want by just sitting right where they're at. Like Houston, they're going to get whoever they want. They should take Bryce Young. We'll see what they do. Chicago at number 2 has their guy. Seattle at number 3. If they win with Geno Smith on Sunday against the Rams, which I think they should, they're at home. And if they get some help from Detroit, they're in the playoffs. I don't see them moving off of Geno Smith, even if they fail to make the playoffs, whether they win or lose on Sunday. So they got their guy. Arizona, Kyler Murray, they have their guy. The Colts at number 5, that's the first team to worry about. Or for Indianapolis, it's a no-brainer to me that they should take C.J. Stroud right there at number 5 if they stand pat and no one, of course, trades ahead of them. The Carolina Panthers may be thinking about trying to move up to get to Arizona spot or get to Seattle spot or get to Chicago spot. I don't know. If I'm Chicago, I'm trying to build this roster around Justin Fields. I'm not moving out of that slot. Seattle, they could probably get afford to, considering that, I mean, they already have the next 2 first-round picks after this year from Denver. And Denver was bad this year. We'll see how Russell Wilson progresses. Like, they can feel incentivized to move out of it because they have so many assets moving forward, and it will still get a top 10 pick. So Carolina's got to be looking to move up maybe to 3 or 4, depending on how things work out, because they cannot sit back behind Indianapolis and behind Atlanta, who's sitting at 7th. I think Detroit at 6, if they go to the playoffs or not, because they got the Rams pick. I think Detroit's probably going to end up keeping Jared Goff. The Falcons, I would imagine they're going to be interested in a quarterback. Who knows? Maybe they think Desmond Ritter is the guy. Not quite sure. Now Las Vegas at 8. Are they going to do a complete teardown there with Josh McDaniels after signing guys like Chandler Jones and being able to trade for Davante Adams to bring him with his best friend, Derek Carr? Are they going to go get a veteran? Are they going to try to get Tom Brady or somebody else who might be available, like Jimmy Garoppolo, this offseason? Or are they going to take a rookie quarterback? So Carolina, win or lose on Sunday, they're going to have to move up. And maybe the further back they are, probably the more assets they got to give up. It really depends on whether Chicago wants to play hardball or Seattle wants to play hardball or Arizona or Indianapolis, who I doubt would want to be a trade partner with Carolina because they need a quarterback. So we're going to sit here. I'm sure a lot of us are going to sit here this week and are going to want the team to lose. But Steve Wilks is not trying to lose. And honestly, to me, it does not really matter all that much whether they win or lose or not, because they're not going to be able to sit back behind Indy, who is god-awful, and behind Atlanta and maybe behind Vegas and not do anything and think that they're going to get their quarterback. If they want C.J. Stroud, for me in this draft, it's Bryce Young and Stroud. Richardson, I just don't know. He looks great. He looks awful. Will Levis, I'm not convinced. Again, it's a crapshoot. any of these guys could be great. Any of these guys could be bust. Who knows? But from what I saw from my time watching college football the last couple of seasons, Bryce Young's the best quarterback in this draft. And then after what I saw from C.J. Stroud on Saturday night against Georgia, he showed us things that everyone was wondering, could he do? Could he play off platform, off script? Could he be able to make those kind of throws? Could he use his legs as a factor offensively? He showed everything that everyone's been wanting to see from him outside of just being a pocket passer. He's got the goods. Those are the two guys. And Young's not going to be available. So I think Carolina, whether they win or lose, they're going to have to trade up. So if you want them to lose, fine. If you want them to win, great. But I don't think the result on Sunday really means anything other than adding another notch to Steve Wilkes' belt to help him get this job. Because if you want Steve Wilkes to be the head coach, 6-6, hard to argue with that, considering everything that's happened this season in Carolina. If he gets them the 500, you can only wonder what it would have been like had he had a real quarterback. Had he not had certain injuries, had he had his own hand-picked coaching staff, especially at the offensive coordinator position. So winning on Sunday, especially for people who want Steve Wilkes to be the guy, I think that is the only thing that can help his case further. Now also, at this point in time, should really Sunday's result change anything with Steve Wilkes? Because when you really think about it, I don't think Sunday's loss or win on Sunday against New Orleans should change all that much. I'll talk about that here in just a moment on Locked On Panthers. But before I do, let me tell you guys about Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to the college bowl season to basketball. They've got you covered at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts like this one, you can find those as well at BetOnline. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Steve Wilkes has one final game as the Carolina Panthers interim head coach this season. So far, he is 5-6 through 11 games in 12 weeks of the season. He said he had 13 weeks to do it his way, and he has done it his way. He's talked about winning up front. The offensive line has been dramatically improved from what they were a year ago. They have found an identity on offense. They have found an identity on defense. And they have found an identity on special teams. All things they did not have under the previous coaching staff and head coach in Matt Rhule. What Steve Wilkes has done over the last 11 weeks has been incredible. It hasn't been miraculous, but it's been incredible that he's been able to get these guys to buy in. And Shaq Thompson was on with Josina Anderson on her podcast or whatever she does a week ago, just talking about how guys just weren't fully bought in to Matt Rhule. But Steve Wilkes came in here and he said, hey, I want to be these guys' friends, but I'm not going to be their buddy. Because, you know, your friends are going to tell you the truth. They're going to call you out and tell you when you're not doing things the right way. And he said he wants to do things right the way, which means going out there on Sunday at Superdome against New Orleans and trying to win this football game and playing Carolina Panthers football and playing to their DNA, the physicality, running the football, playing great defense, great special teams, playing smart, not turning the football over. All the things that they did wrong on Sunday in that loss to Tampa Bay, they want to correct that this week and go into that game on Sunday afternoon against New Orleans and try to get a win and get them to 6-6. Now for me, 5-7, 6-6, I don't think it really matters all that much. It really shouldn't at this point in time. And if you wanted Steve Wilkes to have the interim tag taken off a couple weeks ago, you should still feel the same way today, and you should still feel the same way even if they lose to New Orleans. And if you didn't want him to have it taken off 4 weeks ago or whenever it was, your opinion really should not have changed by now. There's going to be people of the opinion that keeping Steve Wilkes is status quo. It's not a big enough hire. It's not going to change anything. There's other people who think you got to go out and go find somebody else. There's people also going to think that, hey, you know what? If you keep Steve Wilkes, it makes way more sense to do that opposed to trying to go find the next Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan or whatever offensive wunderkind, and it doesn't always work out. And you want to have someone with coaching experience, and there's other guys with coaching experience, but do you want Leslie Frazier, the DC of the Buffalo Bills, who used to be the Vikings head coach? Do you want Dan Quinn, the former Falcons coach, who's the DC now in Dallas? Do you want some of those retreads, or would you rather have a guy here in Steve Wilkes who is already loved in the locker room, who already understands the foundation and what it takes to win here, who's had experience, and of course is a hometown guy? So there's going to be plenty of conversations that we're going to have over the next couple of weeks, really like the next month as the interview process goes through and we find out what candidates are out there and who David Tepper is interested in talking to. And there's been reports from Dan Graziano that Tepper would be interested in, you know, maybe a former head coach, and they'd be looking at an offensive guy, at least I think Benjamin Albright of KOA out there in Denver. He put that out there on Twitter a week ago. And yes, there's been steam building for Wilkes to get the job. Like Chris Mortensen said, there's been momentum building that maybe Wilkes gets the job. And I don't think it helps his case necessarily losing the final two games of his tenure as the interim head coach. But I also don't think it really should hurt it, especially like when this game, you know, it doesn't matter all that much. But if they win, I think all that does is speak even more to what he's been able to do to rebuild this culture and really to establish this culture to where his guys always bounce back. Outside of the loss against the Falcons at overtime and getting blown out by the Bengals, who are a great team, the Panthers have always bounced back. And if this team can bounce back one more time, how can you not want to hire this guy and give him a chance to actually have a capable OC and a capable quarterback and then to plug the holes that they have defensively and offensively in the rest of this roster? Why would you not want to give him a chance? Like, Sunday's loss should not change anything about Steve Wilkes. I mean, if they get blown out, then I guess maybe you think about it. But we have to understand all the context that have gone into this season. And that goes into a 6-6 or a 5-7 record under Wilkes. And I've seen enough so far to believe that Steve Wilkes absolutely deserves a shot. Well, not deserves, he's earned a head coaching role, whether it's here in Carolina or elsewhere in the NFL. Like, you have to remember, Wilkes does not necessarily have to stay here in Carolina. He can interview with other teams. He can interview with the Colts job. Why would he want to do that? I have no idea. That seems like a mess to Jim Irsay, but he can interview for that job. I mean, obviously, Arizona, if that opens up, he's not going to interview out there, considering his history and, you know, what's going on with the ongoing lawsuit. Who else is open right now? I can't think of anybody else. But if the other jobs open up, Steve Wilkes absolutely should be interviewing for those jobs. He should keep his options open as much as David Tepper should keep his options open throughout the interview process. As I've said, whether Steve Wilkes should get the job or not, David Tepper needs to talk to as many candidates as possible, figure out who the right guy is. And the hope is that it comes back to Steve Wilkes as the right guy here in Carolina. Because Steve Wilkes would have shown over the last 12 weeks what he can do with this football team. And you have to wonder, oh, what could it look like with the proper support and the right players and all of that here after one offseason? So I don't think Sunday should change anything. I don't think the loss to Tampa Bay changes anything. You know, Wilkes is still a guy who's only been a head coach for, 27 games. 27 games, that's like not the biggest sample size is when you look at both the situations that he inherited. Wasn't great out in Arizona, wasn't great when he got here. But at least here, the second time around, he's shown the ability to adapt and the ability to win. So I think that Wilkes absolutely has earned a shot, whether it's here in Carolina or elsewhere. It's not even a shot. He's earned a full-time role, which to me is 3 to 4 years to go out there and get a team to the playoffs and show that he actually can build a winner. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's always up to David Tepper, and we'll learn more about what David Tepper wants to do over the next couple weeks and maybe months, but hopefully not too long. All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, again hosted by yours truly, Julian Council. Make sure to watch our show, subscribe to our show over on our Locked On Panthers YouTube channel. Check us out wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Just be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show there. And make sure to hit me up on Twitter at Julian Council. DM me there as well to participate in the weekly Friday mailbag, either at me or DM me there on Twitter. But again, first follow me on Twitter at Julian Council. In the meantime, be happy, be safe, be whole. As always, keep pounding. And I'll talk to y'all on Wednesday.